Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Friday to you, everybody. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Thanks for making our first week a wonderful one. And it's a great time to bring up the triumphant return of a former segment of ours on the overnight days. For those that are just getting acclimated to the DA show this week since we moved into this time slot, here's the bit. When we launched CBS Sports Radio, we were the overnight show, 2A until 6A on CBS Sports Radio, those times Eastern. So we were doing the overnights for the first 2 years. It was the launch of a brand new station, brand new network. I had never done overnights before. And when I left Boston on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and I told people I was going to New York, I was going to go national, I was going to go to the network. People said, that's amazing. That's amazing. What time can I listen to you? And I was like, overnight? They were like, what was that? I said, like in the middle of the night. They're like, oh, cool. So when I'm up late, I'll listen to you, you know, after work or something. I'm like, yeah. Like what, like 10? Like 11. A little later. 12? 1? We're like 2A to 6A. They're like, oh, I'll never hear you again. So we launched this thing, and I said, honestly, I don't know who's going to listen. I know that somebody will be out there because we were on 200 affiliates or whatever it was, but who knows who's listening? I figured maybe it was parents that were up with sick kids in the middle of the night. Airport runs. I felt like we would be pretty popular with early morning airport runs. Maybe overnight security. Truck drivers. I said, that might be it. Maybe there's people that are really drunk in the middle of the night that just need some entertainment.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
But I didn't know. So we started something called Target Demo Friday. In the radio business, in the media business, your target demo, your target demographic is, what's your sweet spot? Who are the people, the hardcore people that are listening? So I said, let's do Target Demo Friday and just figure out what our target demo is. I don't know. I have no idea. Who the hell is up to listen to this stupid sports radio show? So we posted on Facebook, hey, let us know how you're listening, what you're doing in the middle of the night, where you're listening, what affiliate you're on. Just tell us if you're a human being and you are actually listening to this radio show. And before you knew it, it took off like wildfire. I mean, Mraz, I would say that was actually our most popular segment. And I would post that on Facebook on, I guess it was Friday morning, because our final show was Thursday night into Friday morning. So I would say we would post it at 4 a.m. Eastern time to read it by 5:45 Eastern time. Before you knew it, it was like 150, 200, 250 comments. The thread was never ending of people telling us what they were doing and what they were getting ready to do for the weekend, their plans for the weekend, their plans for the next day. It was amazing. And not only did it give us context to who was listening, it let us know that who was listening were really awesome, really fun-loving people. And it was incredible.
And a lot of people having a better weekend than either of us were going to have.
Yeah. Yeah, so when we moved to evenings, now nearly 2.5 years ago, it was, I wanted to bring it forward to keep doing it, except you have to realize the audience that's listening to an evening show is much different than one that's listening to an overnight show. One that's listening to an overnight show is a rapt, captive audience. Whatever they're doing at that point in time, there's nothing else to do. They got nothing else going on. It's overnight security. We had people working the counters at 7-Eleven. We had construction workers that were up really, really early, or truck drivers, or just people that worked overnight shifts. And then some, there was people that were running really early errands or getting ready, going to the gym before work, stuff like that. And then on the West Coast, some people that were up really, really late doing some really terrible things. I mean, some people were roofing with their dogs in the middle of the night in Albuquerque, one of our favorites. So there was all of that. But when you get to the evenings, everybody's got a billion things going on. So it's much harder to tweet in or post on Facebook when you're running the kids to soccer practice, or you're on your way home from work and you got to get dinner ready, or you're doing a billion things in the evening. So I felt like, you know what? People really liked it. I want to bring it back. This is the perfect time slot to do it. On Facebook and on Twitter, social media accounts, I want to know every Friday what you guys are up to, where you're listening, and what you got cooking for the weekend. So Target Demo Friday makes a triumphant return today. Let us know where you're listening, what affiliate you're listening to, what app you're listening to, what you got going on, what you're up to right now, all of that good stuff by going to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow. You'll see the thread that started right there. That also on Twitter, get at me, DA on CBS, and we'll read them toward the end of this show. So last night, also in the Eastern Conference playoffs, LeBron had an epic night, 41-13-12. But the other side is, remember when we were hearing maybe the Raptors were the team that could best knock off the Cavaliers? Maybe the rough and tumble Raptors, because they had played in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They had DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. They had added P.J. Tucker and Serge Ibaka. They were tough, they were physical, and they were ready for that next step. Oh, and then the Greek Freak in Game 1 as part of a 6-seed punked them. And then last night, with a 1-1 series going to Milwaukee, the 3-seed decided, you know what? I'm just not going to show up.
I am the epic fail.
We're just not going to show up. Oh, wait, this is an important game? How important could it be? The Raptors acted as though that didn't matter. It was a preseason game, or their seeding was already wrapped up, and last night's game literally did not have any impact in their lives. They were down 20 at the end of the first quarter. The Bucks, who are a great young team, Giannis Antetokounmpo is amazing. A lot of things to like about him, but the Bucks shouldn't be leading anybody by 20 after the first quarter. The Raptors didn't want to play. Didn't want to. I like DeMar DeRozan. I think he's pretty underrated. He finished 0 of 8 from the field. Didn't hit a bucket! Kyle Lowry, who I just don't like his attitude. I think that that's a guy that you have to continually motivate, even though he should be the leader of the team. I think Lowry is just, he's too emotionally dependent on coaching and motivation, and he can't find it himself, prodding and other teammates needed to get in his face. I've never been a Kyle Lowry fan. Last night, once again, big spot, leads your team, finishes with 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 turnovers, meaningless basketball. Valanciunas, Carroll, Ibaka basically don't do anything. They lost 104-77, and that final score doesn't do it justice. They had 27 points scored nearing the end of the first half. They had 27 points with 30 seconds to play in the first half, and needed a miracle three, basically, off balance, chuck it up at the buzzer, to hit 30 points in the first half. You think the Bucks defense is really that good? You think the Bucks defense is really that locked down? The Raptors were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and how did they get there? They were pushed and they were challenged in the first round, in the second round, and then they didn't really even wake up until game three last year against the Cavaliers. The Raptors are pathetic. They were humiliated last night. Humiliated. And I'm sorry. I think that's both coach and leadership. If Lowry and DeMar DeRozan have to be the heartbeat of this team, those guys can't combine for 21 points. 21. And Lowry's soaking, aw shucks, kicking rocks, I guess we didn't have it tonight, blah, blah, blah. I mean, humiliation. Those guys need to take a long look in the mirror because they were humiliated, embarrassed last night. Pathetic performance. It's the playoffs and you're the three seed. Come on. It's not like this is a 1-8. Like if that's what happened to the Blazers in game three. All right. They're just outclassed and they're demoralized, right? You're down 2-0. The Warriors have all the star power. You can't slow them down and you're just demoralized. The Raptors are the three seed. And they went in there last night and said, do we really care about this? Oh, wait. Oh, man. Oh, shucks. The Bucks are just better than us. Oh, man. I guess we won't be able to win this game. I guess we'll just play for game four. Oh, God. If I was a Raptors fan, I would have vomited all over my living room and then burned everything that I had of Raptors gear last night. I would have even taken my Jurassic Park DVDs and thrown them out the window. I don't even want to be connected in any way, shape, or form to Velociraptors. Nothing. I mean, last night, does that look like a dinosaur that could kill Newman from Seinfeld? Didn't look like it to me. Oh, God. Just humiliating. Oh, I don't even want to see the Raptors on my TV anymore. Like, please, you've got to show up for that game. I'm so out on them. I don't even care. You know the Bucks are going to win this series, and basically the Raptors have told you as much. We're really not into this one. Oh, good. Okay, well, we'll see you in the offseason. Williams in Fort Worth, a longtime loyal D-alien, listing online, cbssportsradio.com. What's up, Will?
D-A, my man, what is up? Coming from an OG listener back in the overnight days.
Oh, yeah, man. You go way back with us. You and Tiffany, your girlfriend for a while, actually met through our show.
Yeah, we did. Hey, real quick, let me get some breakfast on that mothership.
All right. Come aboard. Mariah says quiche going.
Mandy, I wanted to talk about, you know, the Indiana and the Cleveland game.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what. I don't know what's worse, that or some of the epic fails in the past on the show, because what the Pacers did last night was just sad to look at from a sports fan in general. You don't even have to be a basketball fan to realize what an epic collapse that was in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
25-point lead at home, and they choked it away, and the Cavs made it look easy to come back from 25.
You're right, because how many shots do you have to miss to go up 25 after being up 25? How many shots you got to miss to blow that lead? Like, you just cannot be playing basketball. Like, you're not playing basketball at that point. You're just letting them win. You know what I mean?
Totally. It was so lethargic by the Pacers. They built that big lead. They thought it was going to be easy. They thought that they would just coast, and then they saw the Cavs blow by him, and they had no idea how to stop it.
And, you know, you see Kyrie Irving just sitting there on the sidelines, you know, and I kind of got a feeling he's like, you know, damn, they're doing this without me. You know what I mean? And I think, but at the same time, when LeBron can put a team on his shoulders like that, I mean, you saw him do it in 2007 when they lost against the Spurs. Him alone literally got them to the finals. Now, he can't do it. It's just, I feel like him having games like this is only going to hurt him in the long run as far as his career.
And he can't.
The Cleveland's got to step up. It can't just be LeBron doing that.
Well, I tend to agree. I think that he's going to have other guys step up. But I'm not sure that an epic performance like last night is going to ding his career in any way. I mean, the guy's been doing this, as you mentioned, since 2007, putting the team on his back and dragging a franchise to the finals and deep into the playoffs. 10 years later, he's still doing it, and he looks just as good as he did 10 years ago. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, is LaVar Ball, quote, the worst thing ever to happen to basketball? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
All right, DA, we got to do it real big now, man. We got to put a little extra hot sauce on it in the new time slot.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You listen to me, DA. You shut your mouth and you shut it good.
This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stay hot for basketball season with the cheesy meltdown burger even at Buffalo Wild Wings. For a limited time, it's made for the heat of hoop season. Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports. Tonight, Celtics and Bulls, game 3, 7 o'clock Eastern time. Bulls with a chance to put this series on lockdown. With a win at home, they go 3-0 over the number one seeded Celtics. The last time a number one seed went down 2-0 to an 8 seed was the 93 Suns, where the Lakers won the first two games. 93 Suns, though, came back to win that series, went all the way to the NBA Finals, losing to Michael Jordan's Bulls. Isaiah Thomas expected to be with his team in Chicago after spending a couple of days with the family following the tragic loss of his sister. Brad Stevens, I really like him as a coach, but this number is startling. Brad Stevens is 2-10 in playoff games with the Celtics head coach. 2-10. Ooh. Also, I think I saw a stat the other day that Al Horford's every stat of Al Horford, points, rebounds, assists, efficiency, whatever it is, all go down in the postseason. Every single stat, every single year drops for Al Horford in the playoffs. And when you think about the teams that he was on in Atlanta, none of them did squat. And they were never known as a tough out. I mean, I really honestly think that Budenholzer is the biggest reason why people worry about playing the Hawks, hypothetically. It's never been, oh, we don't know how to match up with Al Horford. I mean, now, also, Dwight Howard is just a total joke. Howard had something like 6 points the other night. I mean, give me a break.
Oh, I don't like the way that the game's being officiated. Blah, 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 blah.
Shut up. And for Al Horford, nice guy, smart guy, bright guy. He's just not, he doesn't have that dog mentality you need in the playoffs. Like what LeBron did last night, I'm sick of anybody suggesting he doesn't have some type of killer instinct or doesn't know how to get to the next level. LeBron clicks into gear and says, get the hell out of my way. Now, I realize he's also been gifted amazing physical attributes, but a guy like Al Horford, he just gets pushed around. He's not a guy that elevates his game when it matters most. And that's why when the Celtics got Al Horford, it seemed like this kind of really big get for them because, yeah, he can fill up a stat sheet, but you need so much other pieces, so many other pieces around Al Horford to really win big. And tonight, watch. I mean, against the Bulls, this is such a terrible matchup for Al Horford because he just gets pushed into the corner. It's like playing dodgeball with a kid that can't throw. You're like, let's just take him out right now. Just peg him. Get him out of here. I mean, that's what the Bulls are doing to Al Horford. Get Horford out of here. He's just annoying. He's not bringing anything to the table. Just pound that guy. LaVar Ball is, let's just say, not great. Let's just say he's not the greatest. Okay, but is he the worst ever? A Nike executive by the name of George Raveling told the Sports Business Journal, LaVar Ball is, quote, the worst thing to happen to basketball in the last 100 years. Hyperbole much? I mean, come on. You know what I thought might have been the worst thing ever to happen to basketball in the last 100 years? When an NBA official was found guilty of point shaving and gambling on games. I thought that might be a little bit worse than LaVar Ball. Don't get me wrong. I think LaVar Ball is excruciating. I think he's excruciatingly annoying. And I ask myself, is this really what's best for your kid? Really? Do you think that this is the best tact? But I would say an official being caught in a gambling scheme of point shaving at the highest level, that actually might be the worst thing ever to happen to basketball in the last 100 years. In fact, how about an entire tournament basically being eradicated because of gambling? The NIT and the old New York City teams back in the 50s, where the NIT was the biggest thing ever, and the New York City teams all were point shaving and all basically cheating and coughing up leads and gaining money from all types of mobsters and stuff like that. And then essentially those teams having to go away from ever having played basketball again, like New York City College never played basketball basically ever again at a high level. And the NIT tournament becomes a secondary tournament. That would probably be a little worse than LeVar Ball, just a little bit worse. Like maybe Len Bias overdosing on cocaine as a guy that people thought could be the next Michael Jordan. That might be a little bit worse. Or everybody from the 1986 NBA draft basically flooding their nostrils with the coca. And then essentially an entire draft class smoking their way out of the league. That might be the worst thing ever to happen to basketball in the last 100 years. Maybe. Maybe the point in time where you could only have like one black player on your team. Or how about the years of lack of integration in college basketball, especially in the South? That could have been a little bit worse. But oh, LeVar Ball's the worst thing to happen to basketball in a century. Way to have any perspective, Nike executive. It's a good quote. It's just wholly unfactual. LeVar Ball, part of this is just a show. Part of this is he knows what's going to sell. He had kind of a sparring debate with Steve Summers from WFAN in New York City last week. And I listened to that entire thing. And what I came away from, because you only hear LeVar Ball with like a snippet or a soundbite, or you just read a headline, you go, this guy is out of control, egomaniacal, narcissistic, just delusional. What I realized from listening to 20 minutes of him spar with Summers is he doesn't believe half the things that he says. He's just saying them because he knows somebody else will fight back against it. He knows it makes good theater. Now, he's incredibly annoying while doing so, and I don't really think he's doing his son any great service. He's making people root against his son that would have no reason to, and I think his son is much more level-headed and much more humble and much more gracious than he is. I mean, LeVar Ball is just really annoying. But is it the worst thing ever to happen to basketball in 100 years? Absolutely not. He's intoxicated by being popular. Right now, he's just on this incredible high and goes, I can't stop being famous. This is awesome. Everybody cares what I'm saying. Everybody's talking about what I'm saying. I was never important, and now I'm important, and now I'm going to prove why I'm important. But half the stuff that he says, he doesn't even really believe. He just knows it's out there for shock value and knows that he's comfortable fighting. He's comfortable arguing. And so if he says really crazy things, people will argue back, and then he's in his element. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. When we come back, a little sound check, including why I'm just getting sick and tired of the Cubs on a daily basis, and it has nothing to do with what they're doing on the field. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
Shout out to my boy, Skinny Fat, Mraz, love you. Follow both of you guys on Instagram.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Follow the show on Instagram, The DA Show is the handle there. 855-212-4CBS. You can always connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS, and next hour, the triumphant return of Target Demo Friday. Already getting good feedback from you guys of where you're listening, how you're listening, what you're doing as you listen, maybe some plans for the weekend, which is great, which is exactly the way that we used to roll with it back in the overnight days. So you can go to Facebook and be a friend of the Facebook page. I highly encourage you to, because video, vignettes, snippets of the show, links, columns, pictures, stuff that we talk about on the show, it's all available there. It's kind of one-stop shopping for the DA. Simply go to facebook.com/theDA Show. That's facebook.com/theDA Show and like the show page. We'll get your timeline popping.
Aw, the DA. I love the DA.
Yes. Yes. All right, time for your best audio of the day. Sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Can somebody please tell the Cubs to just shut up and go away? I know you won your world championship. I know you feel like you're some devastating machine that will win multiple times, a budding dynasty. I know that you'll never have to pay for another beer in Chicago ever again. You're being serenaded everywhere. Blah, blah, blah. Great. But Eric Thames hits a couple of home runs off of you, and then suddenly everybody on the staff is acting like the guy's on steroids. Here's Chris Bosio. Bosio, I think. Cubs pitching coach on 670 The Score in Chicago, responding to a question whether he believes the former Korean League slugger is using PEDs.
Bottom line is the guy's hit the ball, and we got to figure out a way to get him out. All that other stuff I'll let other people worry about, but I mean, he's doing stuff that I haven't seen done for a long time. When you start thinking about King Griffey Jr. and Manny Ramirez, when he went to the Dodgers, very very Bondish. You're talking about some of the greatest players to ever play this game. So yeah, it's probably a head scratcher because nobody knows who this guy is. And when he was here before, yeah, his body's changed. But like I said, I'll leave that to everybody else. And we're just going to try to worry on how to pitch him better and get him out.
Oh my God! I mean, how arrogant! Eric Thames, by the way, was in Major League Baseball before he went to Korea for the last 4 years. And over the course of two seasons, if you combine the two, what would be an appropriate amount of games and at-bats over a full season, hit 21 home runs and 80-something RBIs. So it wasn't like he was a total scrubbini. Then he goes to Korea, he tweaks his swing or whatever. He's playing against double and triple-A pitchers, sometimes single-A pitchers. And he's mashing. He's hitting 125 home runs over 3 years. They take a flyer on him in Milwaukee. And guess what? The league hasn't seen him in 4 years. They don't have a book on him. And he probably got better. And steroid testing is way better now than it ever was during Manny Ramirez's prime and Barry Bonds' prime. Like, why would you even bring those guys up? What? He has 7 home runs this year, right? Something like that. He hit like 5 in a row, then didn't have one in one game, then hit another one. So he's got 7 or 8 home runs in the first half of a month of a season. First month of a season. That big a deal? So he's got 8 home runs. Do we really got to be comparing him to freaking Manny Ramirez, one of the great juicers of all time, and Barry Bonds, the ultimate juicer? Like, and that comes after John Lackey suggests that there's no way Thames could have hit a home run off of him without doing something, because he watched all of this film on Thames. There's just no way. Like, get lost. The Cubs are so classless here. You're so big and bad. You're the world champions. You've got one of the best staffs in baseball. Get Eric Thames out. Stop acting as though it has to be steroids. Like, the arrogance of that team, they are really annoying me. Mraz, it's not even the end of April. I can't stand the Cubs.
They didn't earn that World Series. Well, they earned the World Series. They didn't go through enough depressing losses, that core of that team. And now they go out there, win one in basically their second year together, and now they're cocky and arrogant, and the fun, lovable losers are gone.
If you beat the Cubs now, you must be cheating. That's the only way you can beat the Cubs, because we get everybody out. I mean, what anybody else is doing is impossible to do against us.
They're too good. They're going to win 10 World Series in a row now.
Oh, I can't stand them. Eli Manning speaking with reporters, and Eli, who usually everything is hunky-dory, gets a little animated defending his integrity over the recent memorabilia allegations.
I will say that I've never done what I've been accused of doing. I have no reason, nor have I ever had any reason to do anything of that nature. I've done nothing wrong, and I have nothing to hide. And I know that when this is all done, everybody will see it the same way. It's one thing to write about my football or my play when you're attacking my integrity. Definitely makes me angry.
Oh. That sounds like a high school play where, okay, we need a little bit more energy. When you read it through, you got to be really angry, act like you're angry, maybe hit a few of those words harder than normal. Nothing makes me angrier. These allegations. You will see that I'm really angry. I promise. Really, really angry. Nothing angers me more.
Definitely makes me angry.
It really makes me angry. As I've said before, here's the bit. Because of the NFL's silly one helmet rule, because they're saying, well, that's how we're cracking down on concussions. Yeah, sure. You just want to make it seem like you are. NFL quarterbacks don't have more than one or two helmets a year anyway. So if a memorabilia company wants, quote unquote, game-worn helmets, and you're dumb enough to buy game-worn helmets, it ain't being game-worn in Week 15 against the Cowboys. That game-worn, game-used helmet is more than likely 99% chance worn during OTAs, some type of scrimmage, some type of drills, maybe before an NFL game when he's throwing on the sideline, then goes back in. You're not getting game-worn helmets when everybody only has one helmet they're allowed to use the entire year, or it gets cracked and you have to get another one. So unless you're buying a broken helmet, more than likely, you're not buying a game-used helmet. So Eli says, yeah, I need a couple that can pass for game-worn. You know, we threw pass patterns to Amani Toomer in 09 with those helmets. Okay, you got those? The one I used in OTAs was really hot out, you know, in June of last year. Use that one. That's what you're getting when you buy them. People are just so stupid. And finally, the Raptors, during starting introductions in Milwaukee last night, the Bucks PA system playing the Barney theme song.
From Missouri's 6'8", number 5, Dabari Carroll. At the other forward from the Republic of Congo, 6'10", number 9, Serge Ibaka. A 7-foot center from Lithuania, number 17, Jonas Valančiūnas. At guard from USC, 6'7", number 10, DeMar DeRozan. And at the other guard from Villanova, 6'1", number 7, Kyle Lowry. The head coach for Toronto is Dwayne Casey.
So that's amazing, because that's exactly the way the Raptors played last night. Like a team of Barneys. Didn't want to show up, didn't really want to get tough, didn't really want to get physical, didn't have any fight. Oh, shucks. Oh, Bucks. I love you. You love me. We're just one big family. Why are you dunking on my face and rubbing it in my nose? I thought we were friends all this time. Oh, we lost. Oh, Kyle Lowry, shucks. That's basically how they played. And that's your sound check this morning. Ryan tweets in, DA, it was not a raptor that killed Newman in Jurassic Park. It's a great point. Raptors are the ones that plowed through the kitchen and crawled around the doors. But Newman was killed when that dinosaur spit that black gack at him.
Yeah, I don't think it's a raptor. I think it's the falafel raptor.
A falafel?
The one that, like, where it... It has, like, the skin comes off its head and then spits at you.
Yeah, that you can buy on the street in New York City, the falafel raptor.
The falafel raptor, what's it called?
No, a raptor's named a velociraptor.
Velocir?
Velociraptor, but that's just the longer name for raptor.
I thought there were two different ones, almost like...
You thought it was a raptor and a falafel raptor.
Now that you say it, I guess that makes sense.
Bilotti, that's just the first of many, big guy. Just the first of many.
Oh, my goodness. Right next to the chicken and rice raptor, right?
The chicken and rice raptor. No, the dinosaur that killed Newman was the Dilophosaurus. Dilophosaurus. Because apparently he's the one that, like, does the hooting noise and then spits that black gack at Newman.
The llama of dinosaurs.
The Dilophosaurus. Not to be confused with the Falophosaurus. Falophosaurus. Chris is in Colorado listening online, CBSSportsRadio.com. What's going on, Chris?
DA, what's going on, man? Loving the new time slot. I'm super pumped as you're bringing back Target Demo Friday. I think that's pretty awesome. So what I wanted to talk about, though, and I'm kind of going to age myself, showing my love of the overtime of the overnight show was for the Pacers, were pretty much the epic fail last night. I don't know if you guys saw the sound clips. I think the worst epic fail overall DA history was the Schwartz Bane impersonation. I don't know if you still have that, but that every time I watch The Dark Knight Rises, I always remember that specific clip and trying to bring that back to your new listeners here in the morning show. I don't know if you have it. If you could play it, that'd be awesome, man. Like I said, loving the show now. Always loved it. Appreciate you taking my call, man, and hope you all have a good weekend.
My pleasure, Chris. Thank you for listening, man. I appreciate that very much. Oh, we have it because we keep everything. To give a little context on this bad boy, when we were doing the overnight show, Peter Schwartz was our overnight update anchor. And we had some quirky, weird bits that we would do, obviously. And one of those was trying to do a Bane impersonation because we had a caller call in. And just to give you some type of idea of how weird the show was, a caller called in as Bane and tried to do a sports take as Bane. And it was terrible. So we were like, well, why don't we try to do Bane? So myself, Mraz, Kenny Brock and the Wheels of Steel all tried to do the Bane impersonation. And then we had Schwartz do it. And ours were bad, but obviously it was serviceable. When we heard Schwartz's, we're like, wow, you've never seen a Batman movie and you have no idea who Bane is. Because his Bane was closer to my Barney than it was Bane.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Just as bad when you dust it off out of the cobwebs, huh?
I forgot about that. So we just
Let's play that again. The first one is actually Bane, and then the second one is Schwartz's first attempt. And we were just hollering, like, that's what you think Bane sounds like? It doesn't matter who we are. What matters? Like, this is not a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, Schwartz. And so then we had him do it again, and his second attempt is just a dopey.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
He's so bad.
What is he, a maestro at the end?
So bad. Oh.
Sounds like the Count.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan. Oh, yeah, that's really intimidating for all of Gotham. Look out. Here comes the really evil villain, guys. It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
That's actually a thousand times better than the first one that he did.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Oh, God. Oh, no, it's Bane. He's coming to take over Gotham.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
You've never seen Batman, have you, Schwartz? Ever.
Plan.
Oh, plan. What a plan it was. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. You can connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Getting a lot of feedback, which is great, on the Target Demo. Absolutely love it. Derek tweeting in, the colossal fail by the Pacers contributed to the loss above LBJ's epic performance last night. Certainly the Pacers had a hand in that because they totally took their foot off the gas. They seemed like once they were up by 25 points, oh, we're just going to cruise to this victory. This is really great. It was too easy for them, and they were in front of the home crowd. Too easy. And then they started playing like it was a scrimmage or a pickup game,
And that's when, you know, the greatest player in the world and one of the greatest players of all time is going to blow by you. Yes. Going to blow right by you. And that's exactly what happened last night to the Pacers. And for LeBron James, 41-13-12 is one of his most impressive stat lines ever. But also, he did all of that without Kevin Love and without Kyrie Irving on the floor. Those guys were on the bench. And all the Cavaliers did was say, okay, LeBron is now the engine, and everybody else on the floor is going to be simply shooters, and that's how we're going to roll. And then I would also say, don't tell anybody, but they played better defense without Kyrie and Kevin Love on the floor last night. Shayna tweets in, DA, got into an Uber this morning, was greeted by your voice. I was like, hey, I've heard that guy. The driver thought I was crazy. Now, that's just a good Uber driver. That is a minimum 5-star Uber. You've got to give the guy the 5-star. And by the way, you really got to give the Uber drivers a lot of credit, the ones that actually have the bottled water in the back seat, maybe like a package of individual Oreos, breath mints, little tissues. I mean, there are some Uber drivers that really go all out that I appreciate. Then we had the one in Phoenix around the Final Four that stopped before he picked us up and spent 15 minutes getting a little Caesar's pizza. Then when we got in, was like, hey, you want a slice? No, I don't want your grubby slice of Little Caesars. I want to get home 15 minutes ago.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.